A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Thursday, 25th March 2021. We will continue with our sharing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meanings. Teaching from the adapted verses of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. So we are at page 156. Okay. So as usual, before we start, we will have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. We will off the light, yeah? Then you can proceed with your awareness-based meditation. Yeah? Remember, just relax body and mind, completely relax. Then maintain awareness. Then, if possible, this awareness need to be stabilized for as long as you can. Yeah? Technically is, or ideally is 24 hours. Then the last support is trust. Trust your nature to develop the awareness-based meditation. No more interference from the thought process or the mundane mind. So this is very important understanding. Okay, I will set the alarm. Then I will let you develop the meditation on your own. You are familiar with whatever method, techniques, or skillful means to train your mind to develop stability of mindfulness, you can also do it. Eh? But if your spiritual faculties are developed, then you can just apply the four support and you will develop the ability to stabilize the mind very fast. If you have done your religious routine, if you have developed your spiritual faculty, stabilize it, then you are more or less in the meditative state most of the time. So when it comes to formal meditation like this, you just relax, maintain awareness, you will go into the meditative state very fast. And the mind becomes very quiet, very still. So stabilize that, then use that true mind or silent mind to meditate, to develop wisdom and understanding. The silent mind will understand. Don't try to know. Just let things be. Silent everything. Okay. So in everything we do, walking, standing, sitting, or lying down means the four posture, whether we are at work or at rest, whether it's day or night, we must maintain the correct state of mind and remain in the state of samadhi. So that word concentrated, no need to use, it's not appropriate, it's not the correct word. It should be in the state of samadhi. Yeah? Samadhi is not concentration. Samadhi is the collectedness of mind, unwavering mind. And that mind is a free mind, it's not a conditioned mind. So that is the state of samadhi. So what the author is trying to share with you is when we cultivate, we need to develop this daily mindfulness, mindfulness in the midst of life, starting with the four posture. The four posture are mentioned by the Buddha in his first foundation of the four foundation of mindfulness, Satipatthana Sutta. The first foundation is Kayanupassana, mindfulness of Kaya. So our four posture is part of our kaya, or physical activity or movement. So in cultivation, you need to understand this aspect of the cultivation. In everything we do, whether we are in the position of walking, standing, sitting, or lying down, then later on, we have to include all the connecting movement in between these four portions, when you develop the transition between these four portions, just throughout the day, we will move, active. Then we were in one of these four postures, but we had to connect them. So whether we are at work or at rest, means resting, or in the midst of life or activity. That's why they use the word whether it's day or night. We must maintain the correct mind state. So here she used the correct mind state, but never define what that mind state is. You have to be in the meditative state. The correct mind state is the meditative state, the silent mind or the true mind, the awareness nature within. You have to be mindful, heedful, ever mindful, and remain in the state of samadhi. This is very true. Means your mind is always in the state of samadhi. But this can only be developed or attained by great beings, the cultivator, the true cultivators of the way, who has gone beyond the what they call sainthood way, who has realized the understanding of their true mind, their true nature. Without that, you can't. For the mind to remain in this state of samadhi, it's not easy. Means you are constantly meditative, ever mindful. That is what heedfulness is all about. I will continue, then maybe you all can develop the further understanding. So day and night, they focus their mind and remain in the state of meditation. So this word focus is not such a good word. They become collected. They are heedful. And they remain in the state of meditation, means in the meditative state. And what is the meditative state? The meditative state is our true mind, the silent mind, the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the original true mind before the arising of thought, before the thinking, before the aggregates of mind arise. So it's just an awareness, the awareness nature, before the knowing, before the perception, before the arising of thought, before the input of the content of consciousness, that is the meditative mind. That is the mind that is peaceful, tranquil, still, and just aware. That's why that is the mind that can awaken insight into phenomena. That is the mind that can allow you to see clearly the direct seeing, without the interference of the conditioned mind, the thought process, the memory, the views, the opinion, and the conditioning. Because there is no mental movement. There is just a silent inner awareness to observe. And through that observation, it will understand, it will awaken, then it can straighten its view. It can see things as they are. It can understand what is this form and mind, thereby understanding who are you, what are you. So this is what meditation is all about. Without this ability, you can't. That's the reason why I always say the real meditation is daily mindfulness. Without the stability of daily mindfulness, you can never awaken. You can never be heedful. Well, most of the time, without that stability of daily mindfulness, you will be heedless, lost in thought, think a lot. Then your mind is full of chattering, full of what they call the sankhara activity, mental activity. So it is always creating emotion, sensation, then it constantly stirs the mind. And such a mind, because it lacks samadhi, it lacks the spiritual faculty, it becomes heedless. And this heedless mind has the five, what they call mental hindrance. Because it is heedless, it lacks the spiritual faculty, the opposite, five spiritual faculty. So the mental hindrance, the goal, and because of the mental hindrance, it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why you cannot meditate. You are not able to calm yourself down. You are not able to maintain sati or mindfulness. You cannot be in the state of calmness. Yes, you lack the spiritual faculty of sada, which is faith or confidence in the Buddha, the composed mind. So without sadha, without virya, without sati, you think a lot. And your sati is not stable, samadhi cannot arise. Without spiritual faculty, especially sati and samadhi, you cannot see things as they are, you cannot awaken. Wisdom, panya, the last spiritual faculty, cannot arise at all. You don't stand a chance. So all these are related. That's why the daily mindfulness is a must. You have to stabilize your true mind, your sati, your awareness nature within. But that is the meditative mind. That is the one that Huineng talked about, the first hallmark. You have to reach the state of no thought. No thought means what? No thought means you are aware. You are not thinking. You are not lost in thought. You are not heedless. You are just silent, away, with clarity. That's why without mindfulness, without heedfulness, you cannot develop the wisdom. You cannot awaken. That is also the reason why the Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. You don't stand a chance. So if you don't train your mind, develop the stability of mindfulness, if you are not aware or mindful in the speed, in the midst of life, you cannot develop the heedfulness. That's why you are as if dead. Spiritually, you are as if dead. You don't stand a chance. That's the reason why Dhammapada was 21, 22, and 23 clearly explained to you what heedfulness is and why it is so important to be heedful. Because without heedfulness, you are as if dead. You don't stand a chance spiritually. You cannot develop spiritual understanding and spiritual awakening. Okay, so we will continue. Huh? In our daily life, our spiritual aspiration, actually it should be spiritual cultivation, are easily influenced by our surrounding and interpersonal relationship that has misunderstanding and conflict. Huh? That will be a more clear way of describing it. So this is very true in the midst of life, in the midst of our career, even when we are resting. Your mind, your state of mind will be affected by the surrounding and your interaction with people, your relationship with people or with society, the environment, everything. So this one is very true. So your spiritual cultivation will be affected by the surrounding and whatever interpersonal relationship, maybe misunderstanding, conflict, or just a normal relationship. So when you cannot cope with all this, with your surrounding and what happened, when you interact with society and other living beings, then your cultivation is still not up to the mark. Otherwise, you can deal with situation, you can deal with interpersonal relationship, and you can accept the world as it is. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. Nature is. Society is. Everything is the reality, the isness of things. So this part, you have to pay attention. I think the author also know about this. That's why she mentioned this. However, she said, however, if we can remain in the state of samadhi, then we will not be affected. So this one, you have to be careful. Eh? I have to explain this a bit, because there is some truth in this statement, but you have to understand more deeply. So according to the author, he said, if we can remain in the state of samadhi, then we will not be affected. If your samadhi is strong, stable, yes, to a certain extent, this is true. But samadhi alone without wisdom is not enough. So to remain in the state of samadhi without developing the wisdom, you may not cope with life as yet. So here the statement says, you can remain in the state of samadhi, but if you still lack wisdom, then you may not be able to cope with life under certain circumstances. That's why here we have to qualify it with another quality of mind, the understanding part, which is wisdom. And then only we will not be affected. Otherwise, the surrounding and your relationship with people, with others, can affect your cultivation. It can give rise to negativity of mind state. You will be afflicted. You will be affected. So what you need is the spiritual faculty, which includes samadhi and panya. Then you need to be heedful, ever mindful. Constantly meditative, ever mindful. So this is about cultivation, daily mindfulness, developing wisdom, understanding. So pay attention to all this. Then I read on. When we keep our mind stable, that word should be stable, not steady. Steady is not such a good word to use. Steady, it also gives some meaning. Steady means not wavering and all those things, means you are very steady. But the better word should be when we keep our mind stable. Stable, not only steady. Then maybe the translation in the second part is not correct. He said, we are in the state of meditative concentration or samadhi. That one is not so correct. You have to adjust the English translation a bit. When you keep your mind stable or stroke, maybe steady, you are in the meditative state. Cancel the word concentration. You are in the meditative state of samadhi. So that is the correct sentence. So it should be meditative state, not state of meditative concentration. It's not a concentration. Yeah, this is a free mind in samadhi. It's not a conditioned mind. The next sentence, she is correct. That's why I say I suspect it's a translation error. This ability arises from wisdom. Very true. So this part actually explains why the English translation is not that exact or not accurate. For your mind to be stable or steady in the state of samadhi, in the meditative state of samadhi, you must have wisdom. Otherwise, samadhi cannot arise. The last enlightenment factor of upeka, equanimity of mind, born of wisdom. The Sutra of Infinite Meaning teaches us that the place to engage in spiritual cultivation is among the people, which is very true, among society, the environment. And this one is very true. That's why I always share with you, life itself is the real meditation. Life itself is your best training ground. Life itself is your greatest teacher. You learn from life. You cultivate in the midst of life. Because meditation, you have to go through training. You have to be tested. And who can test you? The best people are the people around you, especially those who are deluded, heedless, and not so friendly. So you need to confront them. You need to confront all situations. So in the midst of life, in the midst of society, situation and relationship, you have to develop that training. So you have to engage in spiritual cultivation among society, within life, within existence. So that is a very important understanding. That's why the domain of meditation covers every part of your life. You have to be in a meditative state throughout your waking moment. And later on, when you are very stable and you have developed the understanding, you can even be mindful and heedful when you are resting, going to sleep. Your awareness will be there. You can give it a try if you have that ability. And my nature will sadhu you, rejoice with your ability. That one is not easy to do. Means you can basically, technically, be in a meditative state throughout the day, 24-hour meditation. And that can be done. My nature have done it before in the early days, in the past. But when you don't have the ability, when you are not ready, don't try to do it. It's not easy. You just do what is within your ability. So this part is very beautiful. Okay, I'll read on. It is where we can learn to stabilize our mind. This word is correct, to stabilize your mind. And to use our environment to our advantage to develop our training. Here they use the word patient. It's a very important virtue to develop your patience or to train yourself so that your mind does not stir, does not react, and does not want things your way. If you can do all this, then infinite Dhamma doors will readily appear in front of us. We will attain great wisdom and complete understanding of all Dhamma. This is very true. Provided you can be in that state, the heedful state, constantly meditative, ever mindful, and you can engage in spiritual cultivation in the midst of life, among society, among people, while you are working, resting, or having interaction with people in the society. All this is part and parcel of our daily life activity. And to be able to do that is real cultivation, spiritual cultivation. That's why I said the real meditation is not what people think. You think you just see develop all the concentration, the ability of the mind to focus, to concentrate, and experience beautiful mind states. Maybe psychic ability and all those things, or deep concentration and samadhi or jhana, all those things. You think that is meditation. Then you better find out for yourself. You better reflect on it, contemplate on it, and ask yourself, what is it that free the mind, liberate the mind? Is it all those fantastic meditative states, the psychic ability, the focusing, the concentration, the jhana, everything? No, the Buddha said you need wisdom. Without wisdom, you are deluded. You will have ignorance. You will be distracted by the phenomenal world of consciousness. You cannot understand truth, reality. You cannot understand who you are and what you are. And you will grasp and cling on to this five area of form and mind, believing that they are real. You are the five area of form and mind. So the Buddha, in his final summary of the first noble truth, which is the reality of life and existence, he summarized in short, is it? It is due to living beings, sakayadity or self-delusion, that condition them to grasp and cling on to the five aggregate of form and mind that I call dukkha or suffering. So this five aggregate of form and mind, when they are deluded, there is grasping. That's why the Buddha called it the grasping aggregate, upadana khandas. So upadana khanda dukkha brings about suffering. That's why that aggregate of mind with wisdom, it will be non-grasping. Non-grasping means it has the wisdom. It will not cling, it will not hold, it will not grow, it will not be deluded by it. Then that wisdom and understanding will know this is not real. This goes the way of nature. It is subject to change. It has the inherent universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkhang, anatta. And when you understand all this, sakayaditi is rooted out. He know you, he know me, non-self, empty nature of existence. Everything is just dependent, originating, condition, arising, causal phenomena. It's just a phenomenal world of consciousness. It's just consciousness, means the thought process. So what is thought? It arises and it passes away, it comes and it goes. How come it has such power to make living beings so miserable? And as real it can be, it's just a phenomenal world of consciousness. Every moment, thought arises. Consciousness arises with its content, then it passes away. Following nature's law, paticca samuppanna, dependent originating. There is no reality. He know you, he know me. Everything is just the way it is, following nature's law, dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. That's the reason why in Mahayana, they explain this through very beautiful expression of truth. Especially the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta and the Diamond Sutta. They say, everything is conditioned dhamma. So what is conditioned dhamma? Is it conditioned dhamma is like a dream state, an illusion. Then like a bubble and a shadow. But the Mandarin expression is very good. Huan is illusion. Pao is bubble, yin is shadow. So the expression is very good. Everything is conditioned dhamma. They are dreamlike illusion, bubble and like shadow. So what must you do? You have to contemplate, reflect on it. Thus, that's why 应作如是观. So there is another aspect to it. After he say it is dreamlike, it is an illusion. It is just like a bubble, pop gone. Then it's like a shadow. Then he said it only happened for a while. That's why Zu Lu Yi Lu Tian means it's like a dew, a morning dew. When the sun rise, it evaporate, gone. Then Yi Lu Tian means like a lightning flash, is already over. Yeah, everything is just very fast. Moment to moment, life passes by. As real it can be, it's only within the moment. How stable is the moment? Split second is day and gone. Split second is day and gone. That's why it's like a lightning flash. It's gone. It's gone. But we still cling on to it through delusion. Because without the Dhamma understanding, without the awakening, you will cling. You will grasp. You will hold. Yeah, to you, it's like very real. So the phenomenal world of consciousness, without wisdom, without the Dhamma, you can never comprehend. You can never fathom its depth and meaning. And without that understanding and that wisdom, living being will be deluded by the phenomenal world of consciousness, and they will entangle themselves, thereby afflicted by the phenomenal world. Okay, we go back and continue with the sharing. Well, this part is very beautiful. Okay, the last part. See, the last part is the most beautiful. The author also know, because she is a cultivator too. She is also very good in her cultivation. It is not easy to reach such a state, such an understanding. However, it is precisely because it is not easy that only truly diligent Dhamma practitioners are able to move forward on this difficult path of cultivation. See? What is being described is so beautiful, but it's not easy to do. It's not easy to have that stability of mindfulness and samadhi. It's not easy to have the ability to be at peace in the midst of life. You need to develop the spiritual faculty, especially the wisdom, stability of daily mindfulness, to insight into phenomena, to awaken to the truth, to see things as they are, so that there is clear understanding, so that you can straighten your view and not to be deluded by the phenomenal world of consciousness, phenomenal world of form. So all this understanding will only be there for true cultivators of the way. That's why when we share all this, I always tell you all this Mahayana Sutta, or this particular Sutta, Sutra of Infinite Meaning, they are meant for enlightened being, cultivating the Bodhisattva way, the greater vehicle, the higher practice. So all the sharing here are very, very beautiful and wonderful, exactly like what Heart Sutta say. When you have realized true emptiness, wonderful existence arise. In Mandarin, they always express it this way: "Zhen Kong Miao Yu," means true emptiness is wonderful existence. So the meaning is when you have realized and awakened to true emptiness, then life become wonderful, meaningful, and everything will be very different. So this is what Dhamma is all about. when you understand Dhamma, you understand the secret of life. You know how to live life, the noble life of an enlightened being. You get to reap the fruition of your hard work, your spiritual cultivation. That is the third phase of Dhamma. Okay, we will go on to the next section. They extensively learn the Dhamma of all paths. This one is very true. All these Bodhisattva, the great being, their wisdom deeply penetrates the capabilities of sentient being. This is also very true. At the state of the Tathagata, even when they become Sammasambuddha, they remain firm and unwavering. Means what? They are not complacent, understand? They will not be trapped. They will remain firm and unwavering. They abide in the power of their vows and extensively purify all Buddha lands. This is very true. So they abide in the power of their vow means not only the Bodhisattva vows, they have their own miscellaneous unique vow. Then they will manifest them. So after that, they will cultivate extensively to develop the purity of all Buddha land. So this is the adapted verse from the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. So now we will go into the commentary by the author. If we can extensively learn the Dhamma and unlock the wisdom, then we will naturally gain a very deep understanding of the capacity of sentient being. This is very true. You can extensively develop the understanding of the Dhamma practices of cultivation and unlock the wisdom. Then we will be able to develop the perfection of wisdom. Then we will naturally gain a deep understanding of the capacity of sentient being. We will understand why sentient being has this situation and problem. Why are they heedless? Why are they in such condition? All this you will understand. That's why you have to go through this training to be a great being, to be a real Bodhisattva. Ultimately accumulating into Sammasambuddhahood for you to have this all-knowing knowledge, perfection of wisdom to understand sentient beings. All sentient beings are different. They are just the way they are because of their karma, their condition. So all this, unless you have that stability of perfection of Dhamma, the perfection of wisdom, understanding, you cannot have the capacity to do all these things. Yet you don't have that understanding. Then I read on. In learning the Buddha's way, it is not enough to simply transform ourselves. This one refers to the sainthood way. Because if you want to go the Buddha way, it is not enough to simply transform ourselves, means self-enlightenment and awakening. We must also save and transform others. Means not only you save yourself, you must also save and transform others. That's why the Bodhisattva vow coming. So this one is very important. So I read to you again. In learning the Buddha's way, it's not enough to simply just transform ourselves. We must also save and transform others. Why do we learn the Buddha's way? It is because we cannot bear to let sentient beings suffer. This is why we aspire to engage in spiritual cultivation. Our reason for attaining Buddhahood is to save and transform all sentient beings. If we lack compassion, we will not be able to do this. We will not be able to move forward. Thus, we must let our loving kindness guide our practice of compassion, and let our compassion inspire our wisdom. With wisdom, we will treat all living beings impartially. This is very true. That's why ultimately only wisdom free the mind, liberate the mind, nothing else. So all of cultivation, finally, only the main intent is to develop the wisdom, to awaken, otherwise no use. So always remember, only wisdom free. If you don't develop wisdom, you cannot liberate your mind, you cannot awaken, you cannot become noble ones. Okay, I will read on. All of these teachings are all connected, very true. In our spiritual training or cultivation, we must take to heart the Dhamma we hear every day and put it into cultivation or practice, progressing on the path without slacking at all. For you to be successful, you have to do that. Really. You have to do all the spiritual cultivation seriously. You must take the teaching at heart. So the author say we must take to heart the Dhamma we hear every day. Means constantly listening to the true Dhamma. And patipati, put it into practice, into cultivation, thereby progressing on the path or along the path of Dhamma without slacking at all. Means seriously persevere and diligently do the cultivation. Means do not become complacent, do not slack. Only in this way can we reach the state of the Tathagata. Means can you perfect yourself and realize Sammasambuddhahood, where we remain firm and unwavering. Just that nature of the Tathagata is very, very complete and different from other cultivators. That's why you can finally perfect the cultivation and become Sammasambuddha, the Tathagata. You are really the all-knowing one, because you return to the oneness nature, the original nature before everything arises. The principle of the Sutra of Infinite Meanings are applicable to the interpersonal relationship in our present-day society. And this is very true. They are also the guiding principle for Tsuchi volunteer. If they follow this, it's very good. But the principle of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, so they actually learn the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way. Who are diligently progressing on the Bodhisattva path, see? As practitioner of the Qingshi Dharma lineage, we must earnestly cultivate the field of blessing in this world. We should not only cultivate ourselves within our spiritual practicing center, but also work to benefit others on the outside. Every day we need to reflect on ourselves and ask, am I diligently cultivating the path? Am I helping others succeed in their spiritual path? Am I guiding more people to walk this path or this road to the world, so that the power of Tsuchi can grow ever wider? This is for the author's volunteer and follower, maybe disciple too. Then we read on. There is a saying, teachers show the way, but the student had to practice it themselves. This is very true. This one actually The Buddha quoted it. The Buddha always mentioned. We even have a Buddhist hymn that states this. The Buddha always say, Buddha merely show the way. We ourselves must walk the path. Buddha merely show the way. Which means the Buddha only revealed to us the Dhamma cultivation and practice. Means you must walk the path of cultivation, following the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. So he only show you the way because he cannot practice for you. He cannot like make you enlightened. If he can, he will be very compassionate to do it. But no way. Well, this is self-awakening, self-cultivation leading to self-knowledge. When you realize that the form and mind is not you, you are different, you awaken. Then you realize that nature, which is beyond birth and death, which has the eternal life, the unconditioned. So the Buddha actually mentioned all this. As I hear the author say, teacher merely show the way, but the student have to cultivate themselves. So Xuanhua, I remember he also mentioned this. He also gave an analogy in Mandarin. He said, 个人吃饭,个人饱. Means, if you want to, means, satisfy your hunger or your bodily need. You have to eat yourself. Well, I cannot eat for you. When I eat for you, you are still hungry. You cannot develop the ability to have food, to nourish your body, to become like enough, no more hunger. So this saying is very true. Very, very true. Then I read on. When the teacher explained one principle, will the student be able to deduce more principles from it? This is also very important. You are a true cultivator of the way. When you receive the one principle from your teacher or your guide or whoever who can help you to understand, you will be able, if you are a true cultivator, to deduce more principle for it. I have the ability. My nature has the ability. When I hear truth, I can go beyond that truth, that principle. It will spin off a lot of other understanding. Then I like can understand the full picture, the complete thing very fast. So this aspect of cultivation is very important. So just now we finished paragraph on the Buddha merely showed the way. We ourselves have to walk the path because this way, this awakening is a self-cultivation. There is this understanding that, there is another way of saying this. This one I find it very true for my own nature. There is a saying, I don't know whether you all have heard before or not. When the student is ready, the teacher or the guide will appear. Have you all heard about this? This is very interesting. And I strongly have the understanding and I believe that. So when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. This is very true. So this aspect of the understanding, when you have progressed far enough, you will understand. You will understand. Confucius once asked his disciple, Zikong. Is it Zikong? Not Qigong. Qigong. Is it Qigong? Between you and Yang Hui, who understands more of the principle? Qigong answered, how can I compare with Yang Hui? Upon hearing one teaching, Yang Hui understands 10. This is very true. Depends. This one is a real cultivator, great cultivator. When he hears one sentence from you, teacher, he is able to grasp 10 principles. I can only understand 2 principles when I hear one. Therefore, when we hear a sentence from our teacher, we must reflect on whether we truly understand it. Do we only understand 1 principle, or have we realized 10? If we further reflect and examine this principle, we will be able to extensively learn the Dhamma of all paths, and our wisdom can deeply penetrate the capacity of sentient beings. This is very true. When you reach the stability of cultivation, when you are very far along the path, you have this ability, you have this capability. My nature has this ability. When I hear truth, I can penetrate along, and I can actually see the full picture, then develop the understanding. Okay, we continue. In the United States, there is a Tsuchi volunteer and his son who exemplify learning the principle of life from the Dhamma. Mr. Lu was originally from Vietnam. In 1975, when the Vietnam War ended, there was widespread poverty among the people, and their personal freedom was severely restricted. Therefore, Mr. Lu fled his homeland on a refugee boat in 1978. After drifting in the ocean for 16 days, they were saved by a Taiwanese boat in 1979. He was admitted into the U.S. with refugee status, and the United States government arranged for their residency and employment. Later, he started a family. After he retired in 2005, he wholeheartedly dedicated himself to recycling work at Tsuchi. Mr. Lu had a 17-year-old son who could not understand why his father devoted himself to volunteering with Tsuchi, and thought, why does he relax and enjoy life after? Why doesn't he relax and enjoy life after retirement? What is Tsuchi anyway? Though he could not speak Mandarin, he found Tsuchi's website on the internet, where he attentively watched the program Life Wisdom and Wisdom at Dawn. He said the principle that Master Zhen Yan teaches are all very good. They cannot be found in conventional books, newspaper, or magazine. Through Tsuchi, I can learn about disaster in countries all over the world and also understand the principles of life. So that aspect is very true. The son was originally a rebellious child, but after listening to the Dhamma and taking it to heart, he began to turn himself around. He felt that he wanted to be a good person. He also wanted to come to Taiwan, so he worked hard to learn Mandarin. Although both the father and son live so far apart or away, they are so close to their heart. They are so close to my heart, Mr. Author's heart, especially the son, as he took the Dhamma to heart. Even though he could not understand Mandarin, he even joined his father in doing recycling work. For several years, they have been devoting themselves wholeheartedly, constantly giving of themselves. This is the result of being able to listen to the Dhamma with wisdom and taking it to heart. So this analogy is quite interesting. Even a non-Mandarin speaking person can develop interest in understanding the teaching. The principle of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning tell us, one give rise to infinity, and infinity originate from one. Although there are myriads of matters and objects in the world, we just really need to learn one principle. If we are mindful, everything can be united under one principle. Even though sentient being has 84,000 afflictions, so from 84,000 dhamma become 84,000 afflictions. If we can deeply understand one method of cultivation or practice, we will be able to use our wisdom to penetrate the capacities of sentient being, and we can work further to bring blessings and dignity to the Buddha's way. So this is very true. Huh? This is just like the understanding. One is all. All is one. Yeah, everything starts from the void, zero. From zero comes one. One comes infinity. That's how nature evolves. So if you understand this principle, you will understand existence, you will understand life, you will understand creation. Creation is based on the evolution, the multiplication. That's why from zero come one, the first thought of ignorance, the condition, all these things. Then from one come infinity, or the myriad phenomenon, myriad principles. And the myriad living beings. We have seen how in the process of the Buddha's spiritual cultivation, he used his own life to demonstrate the methods of spiritual practice and cultivation. Leading by example, the Buddha was able to give up all that is hard to give up, such as wealth, wife, children and kingdom. Never begrudging anything internal or external. His head, eyes, bone marrow, and brain were all given to others. He upheld the pure precepts of all Buddhas. Even at the cost of his life, he never caused harm. Even before attaining Buddhahood in this world, for lifetime after lifetime, the Buddha upheld the pure precepts of all Buddhas. From texts such as Agama Sutta and Jataka Sutras, we can read about the process of the Buddha's spiritual cultivation. This sutta teaches us that no matter how much effort we must put in, how long a time we must spend, and what kind of situation we have to encounter, if we can pass through all this calmly and with ease, and diligently cultivate giving, which is dana or generosity, parami, then precept is sila, then patience is kanti, then diligence is virya, and samadhi is collectedness of mind, the unvarying mind, and wisdom. So these are the six paramita of the Mahayana practitioner. We will be able to actualize all of these six paramitas in all of our action, which is very true. Huh? The Buddhist Sutra show us the path that the Buddha walked. The principle expounded in the sutra or scripture are all meant to guide us to walk the same path or road. So the sutra are a path. This path is a road to be walked on. We all possess the same intrinsic Tathagata nature. If we can learn to let go of our mental entanglement and all of the affliction that obscure our mind while diligently cultivating the six spiritual paramita or the six perfection, then we can naturally manifest them all simultaneously in our action. We will be able to return to our intrinsic Tathagata nature, remain there, firm and unwavering, and abide in the power of our vows. If we can forever abide in the power of our vows and further work to bring purity to everyone's heart, then we will be able to extensively purify all Buddha land. So this is very beautiful. Okay, we stop here. Huh? Okay, we'll open up for meditation reporting. Huh? And also maybe question and answer session. Then you can also share whatever you experience in your cultivation, this Dhamma in daily life. That one will be very useful too. Adeline, yeah, Adeline. Good evening.
Maybe I want to share my experience relating to today's teaching.
Oh, started. Very good.
Two weeks ago, I attended the Ajahn Anand's virtual retreat.
Ah, okay.
It's a 7 days virtual retreat at home.
Crispy also helped out. Go ahead.
Yeah, one of the reasons, because after almost a year since, put in effort in the cultivation. I don't know, it's like last year starting, I feel that I must go for a long retreat to settle down the mind. Yeah, I don't know, I keep on having this, like, but this thing cannot. Yeah, so, yeah. And then when I see this virtual retreat, and then also because Longpo Anand is someone which I respect also.
I've been
to Wat Majap for 3 times.
Oh, sorry.
So, and then causes and conditions arise, and then Christy is being part of the organization.
It's
very funny, I don't know. So, of course, I sign up. Of course, to sign up is not to say want to learn something or whatever. Actually, for me, it's like I want to just go into the full force. For 8 days is something like to settle down my mind.
Yeah.
Because I feel that the mindfulness is still not very stable. So a lot of things I understand, but it's not very clear.
Correct.
So of course with the more stable mindfulness, of course that is some progress. But I still feel that something is lacking, something is holding me back.
So you can have that sense or that feeling. What is missing and you need to do what you need to do. Very good.
Because I've been, like I shared before, I did a lot of Wei Guang Huan Zhao, a lot of self-reflections. Of course, I see that a lot of habitual tendencies is there a lot. So the more I feel that I should go through a straight daily routine, my mind settle down.
Six AM to 10:30.
For 8 days. It ended up it was a wonderful experience. You have more time meditation, with a stable mindfulness, you really see a lot of you understand your 5 aggregates.
When
I listened to Brother the Sunday's talk on the 5 aggregates of form and mind, I was so rejoicing. A lot of I've been able to see it in that 7 days. So really, really, we have to put in so much effort in our cultivation.
You have to diligent. Persevere.
And with that part timetable, you see that actually we are wasting a lot of time daily on the unnecessary things,
What is more important is to have a religious routine so that throughout the day you are training yourself to develop the meditative understanding. You can still go about doing your duty, your work, your career, your daily living. No problem. Yeah, that is part of your daily routine. Your daily routine should include the daily mindfulness. That's why I say ultimately, if you don't develop the stability of daily mindfulness, you don't stand a chance to really awaken. Because the real transformation that leads to the true cultivation or real meditation is stability of daily mindfulness. That's why under Abhijja Sutta, the fifth step, Sati Sampajana, has to be developed. And to do that, you must have the first four steps. Especially the fourth step, Yoniso Manasikara, the initial wisdom, born of listening, constantly listening to the Dhamma, then reflection, contemplation, and inquiry to stabilize the understanding. So all the teaching are connected and related. So now, especially today, I want to emphasize this, is I repeat again, without the stability of daily mindfulness, there can be no real awakening, no real enlightenment. The daily mindfulness is a must, leading to heedfulness in the midst of life. That's why you must stabilize your sati, your awareness nature. Then develop the ability to experience the silent mind, the true mind, the awareness nature until it is very stable. Then when you come out of it, the mind has entered sati. Not until the mind enters sati, you can never be mindful throughout the day. Now, when the mind enters sati, everything you do is in sati. Your seeing, your hearing, your smell, your taste, your tactile, and your activity of mind. Everything, the mindfulness is there. That true mind, that silent mind is with it. That's why you will have more and more specific phenomenal awareness, spacious awareness without a center, then your mind becomes very different. It does not stir, it does not react like normal. Most of the time, it's mindful, aware, and peaceful, and hardly any thought process. You only arise a thought when you need it. That is the sign of true progress. In fact, this morning, Sister Joyce came and see me, and he took me for breakfast. Then we had a very good discussion about cultivation, and now she understands. I also repeated and reminded her about the stability of daily mindfulness. Otherwise, you are like blind, you cannot see. Without the awareness, you cannot observe, you cannot see. The mundane mind, the heedless thinking, the views, opinion, conditioning, they will all come in and interfere and make you heedless. That's why you don't stand a chance. So the aspect is very beautiful. So you are right, Adeline. You need the daily religious routine. Then you have to incorporate the daily mindfulness. It's not only this 8 day you can stabilize it after that, complacent. No. Initially during training, you have to develop it until it's very, very stable, until it becomes part of your nature. Then throughout the day, you are in this state of heedfulness. Not until you can do that, your progress will not be that imminent or that clear. But once you can do that, my nature sadhu, you will progress very fast. You will understand very fast. That everything I share and say, you will have deep penetrative understanding. Then there's a lot of joy. There's a lot of gratitude, understanding. Then you will develop a lot of wholesomeness. That's why ultimately, when you really progress, the wisdom will transform you, and you will develop a lot of understanding of why the ultimate cultivation is stability of daily mindfulness, leading to all the understanding that transform you to be a virtuous human being, a noble one, or an enlightened being with noble qualities. Means no real virtue can arise without wisdom. Only after you have the stability of daily mindfulness to observe, to see clearly, and to straighten your view, to develop the right view and the right understanding, then only you can have that wisdom to awaken. Without straightening of the view through this mindfulness to observe and see clearly, without the memory, the brain, the belief system, the conditioning coming in to interfere, that is the real direct seeing, seeing things as they are, the silent mind awakened. So this is fundamental to the cultivation. So very good, Adeline, you can continue from where you stop. So this one is for you and other cultivator to develop the understanding. So if you all listen to all this explanation and sharing, you will know what to do. So remember, not just this 8 days retreat. After that, maintain the diligence. Do not be complacent. Continue with your daily religious routine. Stabilize your daily mindfulness. Then determine to be mindful throughout the day. Ever mindful. Whatever you do, every action, every movement in the present moment, determine to be mindful and aware. It will come. It will come. Beyond my nature, did it before. And I did it within 2 weeks, which was pretty fast. So you must have the faith, then determine to really let this thing manifest. Okay, you can continue to share. Yeah.
Yeah, this is actually a challenge. Usually when we go for a retreat, especially a homemaker like us, put aside all the domestic problem and go to the monastery for a retreat. You can actually, you know, your mindset is not to be
settle down very fast. You can settle down very fast.
After that,
you have to continue when you come back. That's why I always teach you all. After finishing of the retreat, how to actually continue with your cultivation. That's why I introduce the daily religious routine, followed by this daily mindfulness. You have to determine whatever you do, aware, mindful. Means mindful and aware of every action, every movement in the present moment. Determined to be aware. Whenever this mindfulness slip off, bring it back. Bring it back. And determined to be aware. Until your heart there is this awareness that remind you. That's why you take care of mind take care of you. Then this one, I remember during the early phase, when I return my awareness to my heart area to be aware, until finally, the heart area there is this awareness. I no need to like determine anymore. No, it naturally become aware. Right? Throughout the day, it's aware. No? And the awareness is from the nature, the heart there, come up. Right? Then I realize, no wonder people say, you take care of mind take care of you. That is the meaning. The awareness nature is aware all the time. So that phase is very important. During that phase, you are ever mindful. Then you can develop that cultivation, constantly meditating. So remember that.
yes, that's very true.
Determine to be mindful, return to your heart until this area stabilizes, until it becomes like aware on its own.
A lot of vibrations.
Initially, it's the vibration only, but later on, very strange, you know. The heart there, the nature there, it becomes aware by itself, you know. So that thing happened in the year 1989. I remember I was fetching one of the monks to one of the center, I think. Then we had a discussion in the car. Then when he tried to share something, then I somehow have this experience. Then I told him, not only that, I say, you really determined to be aware and cultivate when you take care of mind take care of you, I say. Then he say, how do you know that? How do you do it? So I say, I just return my awareness to my heart. Then later on, the heart like become automatic, aware all the time. You know? When I told him that, he don't believe. You know? He look at me. You know? That's why after that, he wanted to give me a Pali name. You know? But I don't want all this thing. No. He said he insists he wants to give me. You know what name he gave me or not? Well, finally, he said it to me, but I didn't want it. He said, this Pali name suit you. Kema Viro. You heard of Kema Viro or not? You know Ayakema? You know what is the meaning of Kema or not? Kema is liberation.
Liberation, yeah.
Viro is hero.
Hero, yeah.
The name is like telling me that you are the hero of liberation. You, nobody can do until like that, is it? Monk also cannot do until like that. The awareness nature by itself, no, make me aware, no, throughout the day. I don't need to do anything, no, I just aware. That's why throughout the day I was aware. Then that one also later on stabilized. Then I connect to my nature. Yeah. Because when it become aware, initially it's like too strong. I had to slow down my cultivation. Because when I keep on returning to the heart, where that time I haven't located the gateway, it was too strong. The heart area was too strong. The energy built up. Yeah. But then, very funny, you know, it activated the nature. You know. Then the nature become aware by itself. When the nature become aware by itself, it's no longer activating the thing. Then I feel relief. Then I don't need to like slow down or do anything because that nature just aware by itself. So when I share and relate that to him, he got a shock. Oh, he never believed. He looked at me. Then he said, I give you this name. That's why Kema Viro. So the name is not important, but more important is your understanding of what this thing is. So you have to determine to be aware. Then return to your heart. Away from your heart, inside out. That is where the training is until it becomes very stable. Then if you know how to relax, silent, aware, the four support, it will connect. Later on, it will connect to your nature. When you are able to do that, it connect very far. I realized the moment my last guide activated that gateway, I just silent, relax, maintain awareness that all my energy that I develop all melt inside that. Then it becomes pure energy. Then the internal transformation all happened. That's why I move very fast. Where I was ready, I was able to relax, maintain awareness 24 hours. The first three I already done. Then the last one is trust. So the trust, I need to locate the gateway. Then I know how to do it. I never use thought to interfere. I just silent, relax, and maintain awareness. Then I went in. Then the whole nature transformed. So that is the most beautiful sadhu for this condition to share. So you can continue, Adeline. Yes. Yeah.
So last time I think my ability to relax in the midst of life is not so stable. So now I know where is my limitation. So with this, I see it clearer and clearer. So never appreciate so much about mindfulness, daily mindfulness. So now I really appreciate so much. I really see, you know, how all this habitually attached to our sense experience, drivers,
The other thing that I have to add on is because of what you brought out. You see, when you can relax in the daily mindfulness, it is another development. That's why most of the time it's formal meditation, I say you relax. That one is relatively easy. But when you can also relax when you are doing your daily mindfulness in the midst of life, that is the most beautiful. Well, every time you relax, actually you free your mind from thinking. You free your mind from any attachment, clinging, or stress, because you can relax, means you can be at ease, means nothing bother you, and you can smile, you can rejoice. So all these are very relaxed mind state. But when you have problem, you cannot relax. That's why human beings have a lot of problem. They worry about this, worry about that, and unknowingly they hold on to so many things, unfinished business, life problem, life situation that bothers them, and make them like unhappy. Then the emotion, everything. That's why if you don't develop the daily mindfulness and have the ability to relax into every mind state that arise, you still cannot actually stabilize the daily mindfulness. And all this need initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. So this is a good condition, because this is the part I haven't shared with you all. So when you mention relax while in the midst of life, that one is very important. That one I think very few people can do. Because when I was going through all the training, I realized I was able to do it very naturally. I don't need to wait for people to tell me to relax. But I naturally know how to relax and be at peace. Then I cannot be excited anymore. Whatever happened, there is straight away this understanding. Then the awareness nature, they are very, very calm, very stable. Then there is clarity. Then the understanding is always there. Then that one will prompt my nature. Then I will know how to act. I will know how to see the conditions, sense what is happening. Then I will accord and flow and manifest according to nature's condition. So that is what the higher cultivation are. If you can do until that level, my nature saduyo, means you have stability of mindfulness and understanding, then you can be in that state. Just like the Siji author, Zhen Yan Fasi, he said, it's not easy to realize those states, to be in that meditative state, to develop the cultivation with the wisdom and the understanding. It's not easy. It's very, very difficult to realize those states. So that is very true. That is what meditation is all about. That's why you have to understand that without the daily mindfulness, the stability of it, you don't stand a chance. Then you must know how to relax into every mind state that arises, to stabilize your mindfulness, to stabilize your mind, to stabilize your heart, so that it is not agitated, so that it's not reactive, so that it's most of the time tranquil, still, and silent, with clarity. And follow the Abhijja Sutta. Then all of cultivation will become clear to you. So sadhu to you, Adelina. Thank you for bringing out the relaxed state in the midst of life, daily life. Then yeah. Anything
then
else?
You see that the body and mind in harmony.
Yeah.
So that is a stage that we should live our life. Actually, I realize that.
That is the natural state of a cultivator with wisdom, mindfulness, heedfulness, and understanding. That's why most of the time you are just peaceful, tranquil, with a lot of joy.
A lot of joy, and a lot
of understanding. And you are ever mindful throughout the day. Then you understand everything that is going on. Then you will be able to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life. Is every moment of consciousness, every moment of living is so pristine, so beautiful. That's why every moment is new. You never complain, this one repeating and all that. No, because every sense experience is new, is fresh, because it's not based on memory. It's based on that nature's awareness. It's aware, it experiences it. That's why you are able to be with the moment, to experience all of the pristine beauties and wonders of life. And life is so rich, so beautiful. every moment, every instant is so beautiful. It's not like, you know, every day repeating your life, every day do this, every day do that. No. When you develop the daily religious routine, every of these movement and experience is pristine, new. When you are aware. You are not like a person who has this habitual tendency, just habitually like go through life without really living life. Living means to be with the moment, to experience the reality of the moment. So that mind that has awareness is so different. The Buddha called it the mind that is heedful. When you are heedful, the heedless thinking no more. The mental hindrance no more. The spiritual faculty take over. And most of the time, you are tranquil, still, quiet, in the meditative state, samadhi. And the wisdom is already there. The initial wisdom, at least, unisomanasya. So it's a matter of awakening, the direct seeing, the ability to observe through the silent mind, to awaken, to straighten your view, to develop the understanding of all the essential Dhamma very clearly. Then have full comprehension of who you are, what you are, what this five aggregate of form and mind is all about. Then you can link up all the Dhamma. So this is what cultivation is, and it's very beautiful. Yeah. That's why, like you experience, the ability to develop harmony is very important. Harmony of body and mind, understanding that will transform you and liberate. So daily mindfulness, stability of it, ability to relax into every mind state that arises, that develop the ability to be ever mindful, determined to be mindful throughout the day. That one is very important. Okay?
Usually you have tightness at the neck area or the chest area. With the sati, our body and mind and harmony, everything gone. Your life is like slow motions, relax.
No need to worry.
Very light, yeah.
No need to hurry. So yeah, to worry, no need to hurry means life is like slow motion.
Yeah, yeah.
You can really live life, experience life, and life is so beautiful. Why you want to worry about life? Why you want to hold on to things and create problem? Fear, worry, anxiety. All this come from the mundane mind that is deluded. Without Dhamma, without wisdom, without understanding. So the use of thought is very important. That's why with mindfulness, you have clarity. You can see, you can understand. You can straighten your view, transform and change. Then you become heedful, no more heedless. That's how you transform to become a cultivator. Then finally become an enlightened being. That's why an enlightened being is always heedful, aware with the nature. Never lost in thought. Never heedless again. Never creating all the, what they call mundane duality or thinking. And never get entangled with all this sankhara thing anymore. The universal characteristic of anicca, dukkha, anatta, all very clear. That is what Dhamma is all about. Very good. Adeline, salute to you. Yeah, continue. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you don't cling to the self, me and my so much, So and then the everything in the house looks so different.
Like very pristine. Like, it's like your first time looking at it. Your last time you don't seem to appreciate anything, because you take things for granted. You thought this is my house. Every day I come in, so what is there to see? But when you are aware, mindful, it's different. Everything is very pristine. And when you look at something, you really look, seeing things as they are. Not the words anymore.
Yes.
Not that concept anymore. So when you observe, you really observe the clarity. It's so different. You are not lost in thought anymore. The sankhara all like hardly arising or missing. Then the perception and the understanding is there. Perceive, understand, finish. Perceive, understand, finish. It doesn't go and create the unnecessary thinking. It doesn't project the thought. It doesn't develop any more fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lament. Cannot. Well, the mind cannot be in that state anymore. Well, it has that wisdom, the yoniso manasikara. Rupang anicang, rupang anatta. No reality. The five aggregate of form and mind are empty. He no you, he no me, mighty nature only. All this wisdom will come together. Then you will know what to do. Yes, very true.
So still need to do housework. We have a 3 hours lunch and dinner break. Still need to do, but do work very effectively.
Hao-Sheng said, you become very efficient.
Yes.
Because there is no more like complain, no more like doing it with like a lot of emotion inside there. Because when you do things with mindfulness and awareness, the stress, the heavier tendency of thinking, all gone. The negativity of mind state all gone. It become like very light, like everything is so pristine, so beautiful. You just do your duty and you do with joy, because this is sacrificing for your family, doing your duty for your household, for your family unit and all that. Then you can actually become different. But after that, you have a lot of love, a lot of compassion and gratitude. Then you will have a lot of joy and you just willingly do. And whatever that comes your way, when there's condition for wholesomeness, you will gladly rejoice and do. And that's what Dhamma is all about. It will transform a cultivator to become so different. That all of the so-called selfishness, egoic mind, egoic thinking, emotion, the views, the opinion, the habitual tendency, they will be slowly, slowly weakened and finally rooted out. Then you realize all these things cannot arise already. And that is the ultimate stability, transformation. Then whatever you do, you can relate to Dhamma. You can explain to people. You can relate to life experiences and all those things. And you can interpret the Dhamma anytime. You no need to remember anything. So that is the ultimate understanding and transformation. So very good that you have started to develop all this understanding and know that your other cultivation that you need to continue is to stabilize this daily mindfulness and continue with this reflection, contemplation, and cultivation. Then you will become beautiful. The stability of daily mindfulness is very important. Determined to be aware, mindful throughout the day. Every action, every moment in the present moment. That one is most beautiful. Today is very good. The sharing is very good.
Yeah, there was one day, you know, I was watering the plants, you know. So the neighbors, you know, they are there. You just smile at them. And then
The response is joy, very different. Yeah.
Joy from within, from the heart.
Yeah, area. And they can feel you.
It's just appear, and then you just have the understanding.
Yeah.
This style of joy, money cannot buy.
You cannot experience it during normal time.
You
say money cannot buy.
Money cannot buy. That type of joy is like, I don't know how to describe
it. It comes about through cultivation. Then when you smile, you are very genuine. You are very genuine, very sincere. And they can feel you. They will respond. They will respond. I have experienced all this during the early days of the cultivation. And that metta unity is very different. The wholesomeness that you arise is very different. Your pure thought, your pure energy, your pure wish, all this becomes so beautiful. Very good, Adeline, Sadhu.
So the realization of cultivation is actually, you know, the Noble Eightfold Path, the Sila, Samadhi, Panya. Like Brother Teo always tell us, you know, it's like a lot of things, knowledge, but this time it's like you see it in action.
Understanding is there already.
Without the right view, and then especially the action, speech, and thoughts.
Yeah,
just
yeah,
come,
yeah.
very habitually, if yeah, they yeah, are yeah. not right,
can
I don't think you can have sati.
Cannot.
Yeah, yeah. You because really see the flow of it. Yeah.
Yeah, the habitual tendency make you heedless.
Yes.
You know why? Because it will go and think that way. So you are lost in thought straight away. Then through your mindfulness and awareness or stability or the initial wisdom, that one will come and prompt you. Where you can see that you have become heedless again. Means the habitual tendency has come in to condition you into that old way of movement. So like Saul, suddenly he like realized. Then that is the time he need to straighten his view and reflect and contemplate until the understanding, the wisdom become very stable. Otherwise, cannot root out. Next time it will come again. And this is what the mundane mind is good at. Analysis, reasoning, create duality through thinking, wanting to know, wanting to be right, wanting to like develop the understanding so that you think you have the Dhamma, then you think you can advise people, you can help people. No, all these are analysis. I explained that day. When you reflect and contemplate, it must be Dhamma related. If it's not related to Dhamma, it's not Dhamma investigation. It's mundane thinking, analysis, mundane reasoning. So that one is the condition was Sankara activity has duality one, right and wrong one, based on reasoning one. Then the analyzer is the thought. The thought analyze and want to develop the understanding. Thought cannot develop understanding. There is beyond thought. Your thought is limited. Your thought is egoic. Thought is knowledge. Thought is of the past. It's never present. Never within the moment. Never beyond thought, beyond mind. So all this understanding was surface. That's why it's so beautiful. Very good, Adeline.
Yeah, still a long way.
No problem. At least
really
you start to see. Yeah, you appreciate the Dhamma,
the
cultivation.
Very, very much.
That one is very important. Yeah. Then after that, the cultivation will take a different depth. Because when you understand all this, when you have the faith, it will actually spur you to be more diligent, to really go all out, persevere, and just do. Then you will know what cultivation is. Just do, don't try to know. Then when the time comes, the transformation will take place. Then the understanding is there. Then you can understand all this. That's why all the sharing later on, you will understand deeper, deeper, deeper. But as you transform and go through all this, whatever that is shared by my nature, you will start to relate to them and experience them. And then you see the joy. It's no more like last time. Or like a lot of Dhamma. A lot of Dhamma means you have not penetrated. But you think it's very interesting. Then you hear Dhamma words. Dhamma words is not the cultivation. Dhamma word is just word. Dhamma knowledge. But the real cultivation is sati, mindfulness, awareness, that nature, the clarity. If you have not done all those things, whatever you hear is just at the superficial level of knowledge. Because without mindfulness, it cannot penetrate. It cannot see. It cannot awaken. It cannot realize. So mindfulness is very important. Sati is very important. Of course, stability of sati leading to samadhi. Then the constant reflection, contemplation, and listening to the true Dhamma that give rise to the initial first and second turning wisdom is also very important. That's why the whole of the first four steps of Avijja Sutta leading to step five, sati sampajana, is the most important. Once you clear that, you are home. You already destined for enlightenment. You are already hit for. When sati sampajana stabilized, you finish step five. The next natural consequence is that sense restraint means you cannot break your precept already. Your sense restraint is always there. you cannot develop the habitual tendency and all the wrong view. Cannot already. When you are so mindful, you have clear comprehension. Then after that, you will cultivate the other noble eightfold path factor leading to step 7, which is the three way of right conduct. You will have right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and you will know what they are, and you know how to cultivate accordingly. Then right leading to right livelihood, followed by the four right effort, then right mindfulness and samadhi. So all these are very beautiful. Very good, Adeline. Salute to you.
Yeah, thank you for all the teachings, all these thoughts. So I really see them in action. So full of joy, yes.
Yeah, very good.
And this time I look at renunciations differently.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things in our, in daily life that we need to renounce,
That can allow you to develop the cultivation. Your renunciation, always remember, is at the heart level.
Yeah.
If you can renounce at the mind level or the heart level, that is the real renunciation.
Yes.
It's not about shaving your head and putting on the robe. That one is one aspect of formal renunciation. Because to these people, they want to follow that tradition. Means the Buddha's lineage, that tradition, believe if you go full time, you stand a better chance. But cultivation is not about full time or physically renounced. It's about the heart. If you have determined seriously, even without going through the physical renunciation, but you determine to cultivate, to purify your mind, to develop the transformation and the cultivation following the Buddha's teaching or the Buddha Dharma or the advice of the Buddha, you are actually a true practitioner of Dharma because you are serious, you have the faith. And to me, in the midst of life, if you can do it, then you got no problem. Then when you go for retreat or you go to a way place or a meditation center or whatever, you settle down very fast. You're in the midst of life, you also can do it. So when you are in the retreat where the condition is very favorable, you settle down very fast. And if you don't come out into society and life, I realize not easy to develop the full understanding of life, the wisdom. During the time of the Buddha is different because during that time renunciation is very popular and a lot of people believe in that. So as a monk, they really cultivate that time. They go all out full time. Of course, if you do that as a monk and you are as serious as the lay person who do it in the daily life, of course, you will perform better. Understand? But it doesn't mean that you physically renounce, you have the advantage over normal cultivator. No. The lay person who is very serious about cultivation where they are past, they can progress faster. They can really develop the cultivation differently. So you are right. You will look at renunciation differently. So sadhu to you.
Don't have to renounce in a monastery,
The renunciation
is
at your heart level with the understanding. When your heart renounces, you already renounce. That's why my teacher told me, it's not the rope that make you a monk.
Yes.
If it's the rope that make you the monk, I tie a rope on the tree also become monk. It's the heart.
Yeah.
The heart that has the Dhamma is the Samana, the Aryan. Disciple of the Buddha, not what he wear. That's why the Aryan disciple got two types. Lay people and the renunciate. So that understanding is very important.
Yeah, Lompo Anand used a wise word because there's a question from a Indian like Sri Lanka lady say she want to renounce, then but then the monk say that she's not ready. She cry. So Nopo Anand asked her, you don't have to renounce, you ordain your heart. So this word really struck me.
Yes.
Yeah, that is so important.
Ordain your heart means you
ordain our heart,
your heart level.
Yes,
it's not outwardly you ordain.
That's right.
Physically, that renunciation to me not much meaning.
Yeah.
It's just to show it to the world that you have renounced.
Yeah.
That is physical renunciation. But at the heart level, if you have not developed the faith, the seriousness of cultivation and practice, you have not renounced. Because some, after they renounce, they got more problem as a monk. Because they develop other type of attachment, other type of problem within the Sangha community. Because especially our modern society, there's a lot of politics in monastery too. Do you realize that? Then there is a lot of interaction with lay people and organizational activity and all things like Vesak. Then of course those traditions where they do the forest tradition, that one is less. Most of it is training, cultivation and all things. They have their daily chanting, daily meditation, Dhamma discussion, then listening to Dhamma sharing all. So it's like almost a full-time job with the routine there. Then every day, the 3 meal or 2 meal, they all take 2 meal, breakfast, and maybe before noon, they have another meal. Some monks, they only 1 meal a day. Like, I remember when we were at Wat Ananacha. Actually, the morning breakfast was the only meal, quite late. Then afternoon, they have chocolate and all those things, but they don't take heavy meal anymore. So that type of training is good because it is like continuously throughout the day you train yourself. Even when you go pinnapat, you are mindful, you are aware. When you eat, you are mindful, you are aware. Your four posture, your demeanor, everything you do within the temple vicinity, the training, and the energy, they're very good. Everybody is a cultivator, and there are a lot of Dharma protector, non-human, everything. If they have done it correctly, the way place is very conducive. But if you're really a cultivator, you can cultivate anywhere in the midst of life and nature. You can cultivate. Because the nature of the great beings, they are ever radiating for the cultivator of the way. Always remember that. Wherever you are, that nature is there. And like I say, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. That's why during my encounter the earliest, really, the great beings, they appear. Then they advise me. They give me the instruction to the advice. Then some come and request. Then there's a lot of things. Immediately after that, the teacher come, the guide come, the book come, everything come. Then I look like, how come that 3 year everything happened? After that 3 year until today, 1989, 2009, 2019. Wow, 30 over years a year. No one come. Nothing come. No more teacher, no more guide. Book also hardly. Apart from the single book that Wave used to send me every time they print a new book. I just want to know what are the books on the market, that's it. So we better end, huh? Quite late already, Adeline. So let's rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And today I think we are lucky because we have Adeline who created a very good condition and sharing so that all Kayamita can develop the understanding. So far, last few sessions, all the sharing were very good. It's about cultivation. It's about understanding. Like there are quite a number of Kayamita who used to talk to me or discuss with me. And she said, nowadays, the sharing are very different, no longer like before. No, nowadays, the sharing is so interesting, and the Dhamma also very interesting. Yeah, we are using this book, Wu Liang Yi Jing, Sutra of Innumerous Meaning, means the Bodhisattva Sutta on cultivation of the Bodhisattva way. That's why it's very different. It's about the Fa Hua Jing, Threefold Lotus Sutta. Today I sent out on the Maikayamita website. Eh? You all better keep a copy of that PDF file. That whole Fa Hua Jing, the Threefold Lotus Sutta, they are all in the PDF. That one you must thank Jin Hao. Jin Hao resend it to me. Last time I received it, but I don't know where I kept it. I couldn't find. Then today I asked for it, and he very fast sent it to me. Then I have learned from my daughter how to put it into PDF file and forward it to all of you. So I did it just now. So when you are free, go through it. Download it into your computer so that at your free time you can go through it and familiarize yourself with it. Well, later on after this book, I may go into that that Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing means after this Sutra of Innumerous Meaning means Wu Liang Yi Jing. Now we are almost finishing chapter 1 of virtue. I remember just now I have a look at it. I think another one or two sections only. Then we finish chapter 1 virtue. Then we will be on chapter 2. Chapter 2 is proclamation of the Dhamma. Then after that is the 10 merits. After that we will finish this book. We almost finish 1/3 already. Quite fast. Huh? Then I need to make sure that everybody can have a hard copy of a soft copy of this, so that when we share, you don't have to buy the hard copy. This book, I also don't know. I don't think it's cheap because it's on sale in the Amazon.com. So you can use it. So if you want the hard copy, maybe every chapter, you just print it out. It's not that many pages. I think total is about 200 over pages. But the first few chapter, I may use Master Xian Huan. Well, I have with me Master Xian Huan, I think chapter 1 until chapter 9. I think. The rest I don't have. If you have, maybe you can lend it to me. Yeah? Then I will look at it. Well, I scared that one too long. That one too long. That one is with Xian Huan's commentary. Oh, and each book is quite thick. But this version is only on the sutra. The Lotus Sutta itself. So from there, even without the commentary, I can actually share. But with the commentary, it will be more interesting because they will express it, they will create the condition and their understanding. Also. Then I can improve on it, then let you understand more so that you can develop the clear understanding of the whole cultivation. Because this Threefold Lotus Sutta is what the Bodhisattva way is all about. Miao Hua Lian Hua Jing. Fa Hua San Bu Jing, sorry. Then the Miao Hua Lian Hua Jing is the Lotus Sutta. It's after the Sutra of Innumerous Meaning or Infinite Meaning. Then after that is the Ku Xian Jing. Then we complete the Threefold Lotus Sutta, Fa Hua Jing. So this is something that you all can actually develop the understanding so that you understand what was sent out for sharing. So keep it somewhere so that you can find it. Otherwise, many months later when we come back to this, you will be asking me, Brother, where is it? Because our Maikayamita, as you know, every day, a lot of WhatsApp messages and photos. So just make it a point to keep a copy.